Hey, what's up, everyone? You are on the Eden Podcast, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope that the next 30 minutes will help you to become the person that God always dreamed you could be. Let's get started.
Hey, I want to welcome everyone joining us online this morning. We're so grateful to have you. If you're part of the Eden family, it's good to see you again. And if you're joining us for the very first time, we're especially grateful that you're here with us this morning. My name is Daniel. I'm part of the team here at Eden, and I also have the privilege of being lead pastor here at Eden Church. Now, I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for technology this morning. I'm not always thankful for technology, but I'm really, really thankful for it this morning, because even though we're separated, it doesn't mean we have to be disconnected. We get to be connected to one another, engaging with one another. If you would have told me 2 weeks ago that today we were going to be, every church in the United States was going to be closing its doors on a Sunday morning, it would have been really hard for me to think of a circumstance and how that could happen. And yet, here we are. We are in the middle of one of the craziest seasons in the history of our world, and especially the United States. And there are a lot of questions that we're probably all asking. Questions about the future, wondering when is this all going to end, when our kids are going to go back to school, if they're going to go back to school, asking, you know, wondering how many people are going to be impacted by this virus, who's going to contract it. And I don't know that we have a lot of those answers. But one of the things that I've been compelled to do over the last few days is to begin thinking about the things that I am thankful for. And I want to give, number one, a shout out to all of our healthcare professionals who have been working tirelessly, sacrificing their lives, being on the front line, making sure that our communities are getting better and being safe. And so thank you if that's part of who you are and what you do. Secondly, I have been so grateful for our team here at Eden Church. The leader helped to make some of the decisions as we were getting information about what was happening in our community. We were making changes, and our team has just been so flexible. I think every person on our team has, within a 24-hour period, completely different job descriptions. And so I'm really, really grateful. And I'm thankful for you. I know that every family and every person is having to make adjustments to their normal routines. And I heard the story of one lady this week where she said, her first day of homeschooling, there were two kids who had gotten suspended for fist fighting, and a teacher got fired for drinking on the job. So you know what I'm talking about. The struggle is real. But I'm really, really thankful for you. Today, we're beginning a brand new series of messages called Flatten the Curve. And the goal of this series is really to help give us some perspective about all that's happening in our world, because one of the hardest things to do in seasons of uncertainty, when we're not sure about the future, when we have a lot of questions, it's really hard to have perspective. When we feel disoriented, it's hard to know which way is up and which way is down. And so that's part of the goal of these collection of talks that we have over the next several weeks, is to help give perspective. And this morning, we're going to look at the first part of the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. Some people refer to it as the Old Testament, but really it's the part of the Bible that talks about the origin story of humanity and how God has been working with his people throughout history to spread this message of hope into the world. And we're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, and a prophet, the word literally means the mouthpiece of God. And so Isaiah would speak to the people on behalf of God, casting vision, giving direction. And the passage that we're going to read this morning is a passage that is given in a time of crisis, of a national crisis. And so I want us to listen real closely to the words that Isaiah says, because I think it's going to give us perspective on how we can deal with what we're going through in this season. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. Isaiah is writing all of this in the middle of a national crisis. People are living in fear. People are living with panic. There are very little certainties about the future. And in the middle of all this, in the middle of this crisis, God reminds his people of a promise that he made to them a long time ago. And he says, comfort is coming. Struggle is part of it. Pain is part of it. Uncertainty is sometimes part of it. But he said what he wanted them to know in the middle of all of this is that comfort is coming. That the promise he made to them years ago, he was going to fulfill. And I just want you to know that. I don't know how you've been processing a lot of what's been happening in our world and in our community, but what you need to know is that comfort is coming. What is true about our life today isn't necessarily going to be true in the future. That the pain will pass. The frustration will pass. The fear will pass. These circumstances will pass. And comfort is coming. And so God wanted to remind his people of that, but he also wanted them to look to some of what they were able to accomplish in the moment. He says, listen, until comfort comes, God wanted them to clear the wilderness, to make straight the paths, and to straighten out the curve. And so what Isaiah is saying is that in the meantime, while you are waiting on God, don't waste your waiting. While you're waiting for the comfort to come, don't waste the time that you have in between those moments. It feels like so much of our life really is waiting in between the prayer and the promise, waiting in between one mountaintop experience to another. And so Isaiah is like, don't waste that time. God is telling his people, don't waste that time. You can activate your life. And I love that God is beginning to shed this vision on this people, because what he wanted them to know and wanted Isaiah to know is that Isaiah couldn't straighten the curve himself. He couldn't make the wrong things right by himself. It was going to require the collective effort of a community to straighten the curve. Today, we're going to begin a collection of talks called Flatten the Curve. If you're like me, last week, your life was disrupted a little bit. But what happened really quickly is it went from a personal disruption to becoming this widespread public disruption, right? First, the schools got canceled, and then we saw that large gatherings were canceled. And so we saw on the news all over the place, like the NBA season was being rescheduled. Sporting events all around the world were being canceled. Huge events were being rescheduled in light of what was happening. And then a few days later, they started asking us to cancel smaller gatherings and smaller gatherings until we realized that as a church, we couldn't meet and we were being asked to be part of the collective effort to limit the spread of COVID-19 all around the world and specifically in our community. We were being asked to help flatten the curve. And this seems like for the church, this would have been a unique circumstance to be asked to help play a role in flattening the curve in the spread of this virus. But when we think about the role of the church all throughout history, the heart of the church has really been to flatten the curve in so many other areas. The church has tried to flatten the curve of injustice. We've tried to flatten the curve of racism or prejudice or suffering or fear or anxiety. We really, as a community of faith, have been called to flatten the curve in areas of our world, every area of our world that is out of sync with God's vision for the world. And what you'll notice is that the only time the church has really ever been effective in helping to flatten the curve is when we've made the decision to do it together, when we've leveraged the collective force of every person, when we are being united around the same cause. And I really believe that that was Jesus's vision from the very beginning. Look at what Jesus says as he's wrapping up his time here on earth. The hostility towards him is growing. People are planning to murder him. They're scheming against him. And in the middle of all this, he retreats to a quiet place and he begins to pray. He says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. I think about all the things that Jesus could have prayed just as he was about to leave this world, all the things he could have prayed for these people. And the single thing that he closed this prayer out with was that he wanted them to have unity. Because he knew that if this small band of people were going to have the type of impact that needed to happen in this world, they were going to have to do it together. They needed the collective energy of every person giving in and pouring into the mission. He needed everyone's energy and everyone's heart and everyone's passion and everyone's willingness to sacrifice and to give their life to this cause. And I think that in some ways we're in a similar situation, that if we want to make a difference, it is really going to require everyone's collective energy. It is about unity as we move forward. But the question that we're going to be battling with is, how do we maintain unity in a world where it feels so easy to be divisive? I don't know if you've noticed that, but it seems like it is so hard to maintain unity in this current context. When I go on social media, there seems like it's so easy to be divided and to feel divided in this world. And so I want to suggest just a few things that I think if we could ingrain into our habits, that we can make part of who we are, we will see greater unity in the church. The first is that we have to guard our words carefully. And so I wonder, how are you using your words? How are you using your writing in this context? Are you using your words to build people up or to tear people down? Are your words unifying us or are you dividing us? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." What that's reminding us of is that we can either use our words to be agents of positive change happening, or we could be part of the problem. Because one thing that we have to realize is that the words that we use, we are helping to shape the narrative of what's happening in our world. The words that we're using to describe what's happening is part of helping to create the reality that we're experiencing. And so we each have the responsibility to use our words to bring unity or to destroy something. And the crazy thing is that I feel like I can go on social media and I can almost know more about what someone is against than what they stand for. One of the things that we decided really early on in the life of this church is that we were not going to be a church that is known for what we stand against. We are going to be a church that is known for what we stand for. Because we believe that if we are standing for something so good, we don't have to talk about the things that don't matter to us. If we focus on the things that matter, the things that we are for, that is the thing that's going to change people's lives. And I want to encourage you, let people know what you stand for. Let people know what you are for, and that will bring unity. Number two, take action. Take action. I feel like if we are going to be a church that is united, we have to be an action-oriented community. That means that it's not enough just to post something on social media. We live in a culture where we can complain about something and do nothing about it, and no one will ever call us on it. Because in our minds, we think that if we posted about it or we said something about it on social media, we've already satisfied our conviction. We don't actually have to go and do anything about it. But look at what James chapter 1, verse 22 says. It says, "Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." In other words, he's saying, be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the things you say you believe. Put your faith into action. And that is a challenge for all of us. It is not enough to say that we want to just help someone. We want to do something. But what are we actually willing to do? What are we going to do? Number three is, if we want to see unity in our world, we have to be generous people. God's people have always been generous people. But what happens in a season and in a circumstance where we start to feel fear and we start to experience panic, we have like this natural gut reaction to start clinging to the stuff that we have. We start clinging to the few things that we have because we think in them we find security. We have security, but we don't. Being stingy and greedy does not help us at all. I know that I'm maybe preaching to the choir here, but I know that this is a temptation for all of us. This was even a temptation for me. This week I went to a grocery store real early in the morning to get some supplies. You know what I'm talking about. And I was standing in line before the store even opened. And I remember this feeling like, what if I'm not going to get the supplies that I needed? What if I don't get the toilet paper that I need? And I remember as they opened up the door, they started letting people in. And I had this urge to start walking a little bit faster. Even in my mind, I thought, oh, if I ran around the other aisle, I could beat everyone to the other side instead of following in this line. I thought those things. Now, I didn't do it. I didn't speed up or anything, but I felt this thing inside of me wanting to make sure that I was going to go and get everything that I needed, and I didn't care if anyone else had what they needed. It is this natural tendency in us because a lot of us have this zero-sum game in our mind where we think that if we give away what we have, then we won't have anything. But actually, Scripture teaches us something so different, that it is actually better to give than to receive. In fact, when we give, we become richer. And the more that we sow, the more that we receive, that it is a blessing to give. And so I want to encourage us all to be aware of how easy it is to become greedy or to cling to stuff as if it's our hope and our security during this time. And I want to challenge you to be generous. Because one thing that we know, especially as maybe you've taken time over the last few years or a few months or a few weeks, part of what it means to be a person of faith is that you are someone who is willing to sacrifice. And the reason why is because we are no more like God than when we are willing to sacrifice the things that matter most to us. The Bible teaches us that God gave His only Son so that our hearts could be redeemed and our souls could be brought into life, that our faith could be activated. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you've experienced, but I know that if we have any hope at minimizing the destruction of this virus in the world, but if we have any hope of becoming a stronger community, it is only going to happen if we do it together. If we use our words, if we're willing to take action, if we're willing to be people who are generous, even in the middle of a crisis. And the reason why is because that is what God did for us. That we have hope today because of God's generosity in the past, when He gave His one and only Son so that our sins could be freed, so that our sins and our hearts could be purified, and we could have a connection with God again. This morning, I don't know if you've ever made a decision to begin following Jesus, but I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If this morning you are in a season of life where you are open to what God might have for you, I want to invite you to invite Him into your heart. The Bible says that God is knocking at the door of every human heart, wanting to come in, but He'll never force Himself in. And so all we have to do is to receive the gift that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're in a place where you want to receive that gift, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me, inviting Jesus into your life and into your heart. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for my sins. Thank You for Your generosity. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Today, I want to begin following You. Today, I admit that I can't do this life on my own. I admit that I've tried and I still feel empty, looking and searching for purpose in my life. Today, I want to trust that You can do it better than me. Today, I want to trust You as my Savior. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.